Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Well, we're joined now by Fred C. Trump III, author of All in the Family, The Trumps and How We Got This Way, and the son of Trump's late brother, Fred Jr. The new book makes some explosive claims, including that his uncle made cruel remarks about Fred Trump's disabled son and used racially offensive language in his company. The Trump campaign have denied the allegations, and Eric Trump says Fred is just cashing in on the election fever around Donald Trump. Well, Fred C. Trump joins us now on the line from the US, and you're very welcome, Fred, to the programme this evening.
Well, thank you, Sarah. And if you don't mind, I'd like to say hi to my friends Paul, Keith, and Carolina, who live right outside of Dublin.
Okay, well, I'm sure they'd be delighted to get that greeting from you. We might just look at your relationship then with your uncle, and I know that has progressed and gone through quite a journey over time. And in 2020, people will be aware that that Donald Trump's niece, Mary Trump, who is your sister, published a book, yes, about her uncle, and she described how awful she found him to be. And at the time, you put out a statement slamming your sister really for treachery. Why did you do that at the time, and why the change of heart?
Here's the difference between Mary's book and mine. And I had not read Mary's book, but I knew all about it. Mary did not have any type of relationship with Donald. So I looked at that as a myopic view of him. Mine is a three-dimensional book about myself and my family. And regarding Donald, I was there during his formative years. I was close with him during his business career and his time in the Oval Office.
Okay, so that is the difference. Can you tell me then a little bit about him, maybe in the earlier years in your time when you knew him, when you were younger?
There's no doubt that Donald was driven as far back as I can remember in everything he wanted to do. And he certainly got that from my grandfather, who, when I spoke my eulogy about my grandfather, I used the word driven. And Donald, certainly among any others of his children, was the one, Donald was, that we all knew was going to do whatever it took to get what he wanted.
But you were very close at some stages, I believe. I mean, you acknowledged those moments of closeness in the book, that you'd watch The Twilight Zone together, you'd play catch. When your blue bicycle was stolen, it was Uncle Donald who took you to the precinct to demand the police do something.
No, I'm not denying that I didn't have a good relationship with him. He's done terrible things to me over the years and said terrible things. But I don't know what's in me that allows me to forgive and want to continue a relationship as I have over the years.
Has he changed over the years?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, again, he's still driven, but the means he uses to get what he wants now have changed to a much more ramped up level of, you know, inciting his base and things like that. It's become uncomfortable for me. You know, my name is attached to all of these methods that he uses, and that makes me uncomfortable.
You say that when you were 10 years old, you heard Donald Trump repeatedly use the N-word after he found his car had been slashed. Can you tell me a little bit about that incident?
Sure. I was at my grandparents' house, as I often was during the summertime. I grew up in an apartment building. There was no backyard to play in. So I remember Donald being really pissed. He was screaming mad, and he had a big Eldorado white convertible car. And he had a roll of electrical tape because the roof was black, and they had two foot long slashes. And there were two disturbing things to me. And again, I was about 10. The fact that he used the N-word twice, but that he didn't know who had done it. He hadn't seen who slashed the roof. He just immediately went that it were blacks that slashed the roof. So that left a very indelible imprint on me.
You may be aware that Stephen Chung, who is a Trump campaign spokesman, has said that account is completely fabricated and total fake news of the highest order. He said that anyone who knows President Trump knows he would never use such language, and false stories like this have been thoroughly debunked.
Okay. I can only suggest to your viewers or your listeners that they read the book and understand the truth surrounding that situation and others.
I wonder, have you heard Donald Trump use racial slurs such as that since then? Or what is your sense of where he stands on race issues?
I have not heard him use that word since. What is troubling to me is that whether you're black or other races or religions, he will use people for his greater goals, basically using people as pawns.
So did your Uncle Donald's appearance then at the Conference of Black Journalists, it's all over the media over the last 24 hours and the comments he made at that about Kamala Harris and questioning whether or not she is black. Did any of that surprise you?
I couldn't understand it, to be quite honest with you, Sarah. I watched the clip like so many, and you probably know the buzz and the furor that it's causing over here. I don't know what would cause him to say something like that. And once he says something, he sticks with it. So people may have been saying to him, you're out of your mind for saying that. He can't backtrack and say, hey, I was wrong.
Because again, if we're talking about really explosive claims in this book, the comments he made about your son are you know, very disturbing. Can you tell me a little bit about that? You had to meet him about your son is disabled and has complex needs, just for yep. our own listeners. And you met Donald Trump to talk to him about funding his care. Is that right? Can you tell us about that?
My wife, Lisa, and I for years have been advocating on behalf of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And we thought the best way to use the situation we were going to be in after Donald was elected in 2016 and inaugurated in 2017. Immediately, we went to work, initially with the help of my cousin Ivanka, who set up our first meeting with the cabinet secretary here. It culminated in May of 2020 in the Oval Office with Donald and the head of Health and Human Services, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and about 10 advocates that Lisa and I had been working with for years. And when the meeting ended, I left the Oval Office also, and I was called back in, and Donald greeted me with his typical, hey, pal, how's it going? And we sat and chatted for a minute or so, and he goes, those people, all those expenses, they should just die. And I didn't really know how to respond to that. So I basically said, hey, thanks a lot for setting up the meeting. A few years later, William has a medical fund that was about ready to be depleted. I called Donald and said, you know, as he has in the past, if he could continue to help fund this. He paused and said, your son doesn't recognize you. Let him die and move down to Florida. Now, I don't know how you can explain how anyone could say that about any human being, least of all your grandnephew.
And how did you respond?
The only response I could muster up, I know what I wanted to say to him, but what I said was, no, Donald, he does recognize me. We're so lucky to have William in our lives. It's tough. It really is. But so many people have the same issues and maybe not be as lucky as we are financially. So we need to get a movement going here, get legislation done. And that's why, as you may know, I will be voting for Kamala Harris and campaigning on her behalf because she will help with this issue.
Okay, so that in itself is interesting that you're supporting Kamala Harris. And did you support Donald Trump in the last election? Have you ever supported Donald Trump in an election?
No. No. I believe in policy over politics, Sarah. And people say, yeah, but he's your uncle. And I say, yeah, but this is my country. I don't agree with his policies or the policies of the Republican Party as it is now. Certainly different than it was when I was a kid and even 10 years ago. Policy over politics is what I believe in. And Kamala Harris has those policies and the values that I I believe in.
So, okay, so given you have those beliefs and you're absolutely entitled to those beliefs, can you understand, though, then why some on the Republican side or many on the Republican side would see this book as a hit job and your own family, within your own family, you know, many haven't reacted well to it? Yesterday we saw Eric Trump, he launched an attack on you for your decision to, as he put it, cash in on election fever with your memoir about Donald Trump.
Again, all I can say is to your listeners, read the book. Maybe they should read the book first of all before they make comments like that, because I guarantee they haven't. It's as I said, a hit job is a myopic view of something. This is a three-dimensional outlook of my family, the good, the bad, sure, the jaw-dropping, but the jaw-dropping is only comes out of my memories of what people have said and done in my family.
Eric Trump put much of a statement out on Twitter yesterday, and one of the things he referred to was millions of dollars in support that was given to you for, as he puts it, your wonderful son from Donald Trump. I understand the extremely distressing exchange that you had with Donald Trump when you went and said the fund is depleted. But the fact that he did give you, is that correct that he gave you millions of dollars in support in the first instance?
I really need to put that into context, Sarah. When William was born, literally the day after my grandfather passed away, my grandfather was buried, William was in hospital for 7 total weeks, 3 weeks at Mount Sinai in the city where I was born and my other two children were born. Mount Sinai is within a half mile radius of where all my aunts and uncles lived. They never came to visit William. At that point, Donald had hatched a scheme to take my sister and me out of my grandfather's will. Donald was in very, very bad financial straits. So he hatched this plan. My father was dead. So he came up with a way to get my sister and me without taking his share of what would have been his inheritance. So when people say that Donald gave me, or my other aunts and uncles gave me money for the fund for William, I look at it, that was my rightful money. So if I had that money that I was due, I wouldn't have needed to have them have a medical fund. And by the way, they should have just said, we'll do anything we can for him. It's family. I had to ask. At times, it was very troubling for me to have to ask for them to help support William. The fact that I had to ask for, again, what was rightfully my money was doubly troubling.
And just to clarify then, Fred, can I take it after that conversation, that very distressing conversation that you had with Donald Trump about your son when you went and asked for more money, has he given you more money since then?
The fund is due to be fully depleted shortly, in a couple of months. So I hope he'll find it in himself to do so.
Even after the publication of this book?
We'll see, Sarah, we'll see. Mm-hmm.
And just very finally then, it's been a whirlwind in the race for the US president over the last month, 6 weeks or so, with so many different things happening. Who do you think is going to win?
I wish I had the famed crystal ball, but I will be doing everything I can to help Kamala Harris be victorious.
All right. Well, Fred C. Trump III, thank you very much for joining us this evening on Drive Time.
Thank you, Sarah.